So we're recording a show.
Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
And Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Ready to come. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 266. We are here, as always, with the feverish Fanero. Very special guest this week. We've got Felix Sharp from Campus Canton. You can also hear Kalamazoo his voice. Stand up. Yeah, Kalamazoo, stand up. We got that Faygo Red Pop in the house this evening. Shout out to the Dirty Mitten. You can hear Felix's voice on the Dynasty Debate over on Campus of Canton. You guys have a hell of a feed going over there on Campus of Canton. And I mean, through like drafts when you had Dwight like dropping those profiles every day. And I mean, that feed was hard to keep up with. You guys drop like two shows a day sometimes.
I mean, it's obnoxious, right? It's obnoxious. We do have content pretty much every day, but we're growing, man. We're trying to hit the ground running and give the people something to listen to, especially like I love content producers that produce content in the quote unquote off season. That's when I need stuff. I don't need you in the regular season. I've got stuff. I've got all the lights and stuff going off that I can pay attention to. You know, when it's boring, when it's basketball season, when it's hockey season, when it's baseball season, that's when I need football content. So Swags, Fanero, I appreciate you guys having me. I know that there are people out there listening to this who are just like me and they need the content now. So we're giving it to the people.
Yeah. And man, we appreciate you being here. It's a busy time of year for you guys over at Campus of Canton. I know it sort of slows down, but then, I mean, you guys are nonstop, like you said, year round. This is the time. And I agree. The in season at Rookie Fever, even sometimes you're just kind of like, huh, how can we help them now? You know, we can just kind of watch and see what's going to happen. And it's such a different grind. And your news it's late as soon as you put it out, or yeah. old news as soon as you put it out. So it's hard to keep up with. We're going to dig in a little bit here to some of the stuff over at Campus of Canton, how it can help you, some of the tools, the platform. Follow at SharperView on Twitter. I'm going to throw it over to the feverish Fanero because we haven't heard his voice enough this evening.
Felix, thanks again for coming on, dude. I know I didn't get to do a profile with you. I almost did. I almost knocked on your door, but I'm glad we had the opportunity to talk to you now. I am joining my first Campus to Canton League. We're going to have a draft coming up in a month, so there's a lot of questions I have. I'll try to reserve all those for another time, but some of the high-level questions, some of the easier ones, like how would I use Campus to Canton as a tool to prepare me for my leagues or for my perfect example for a first-timer? Like how could I use Campus to Canton as a tool to do that?
Yeah, so I mean, I guess the first way is we have over 800 players ranked, and we're talking about from the upper tier Devy players like Bijan Robinson and Bryce Young and Caleb Williams to guys like Corey Rucker and, I mean, Kanate Mumfield, wide receiver at Pitt. We're a group of guys who love football, not just college football, but football. And we think that the stories for these players starts from the moment they come on campus. So, so C2C, Campus to Canton League, that's what it's all about, is tracking these players and getting exposure to more football, which everybody needs. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you need more. You are looking for, you are searching for more football. So,
good point.
We have over 800 players ranked. If you want to compare and track, you know, Ohio State wide receiver Jackson Smith and Jigba to Cooper Kupp or Devontae Adams, you want to compare them metrically and see what they look like, the track of their collegiate careers, and put them on the same spectrum and see, you know, how they compare to each other. You can do that. If you want to compare, you know, Calvin Johnson to Texas wide receiver Xavier Worthy or Saquon Barkley to to Bijan Robinson or Jahmyr Gibbs. You can do that. I mean, I think that people who may not have access to Campus to Canton or don't know what we're about, you may have seen those charts out there comparing players on the same graph. Those are charts are from campus2canton.com. So we know that we have to make the content digestible and accessible. That's why we have a very low barrier to entry as far as signing up for the website. But I think that those are the points. Like, if you want to, and we have NFL Dynasty Kings also. So kind of would be a one-stop shop where when you need content, where you need rankings, where you need metrics. Jerick Backus, the genius behind all of our metrics. We want to be a one-stop shop for everyone to get involved in C2C leagues. But even if you're just in dynasty leagues and you need to say, all right, you know, I need to compare Tyler Allgeier to Justin Forsett because they're, you know, taken around the similar range. And I want to see if Tyler Allgeier has the chance to be good. I mean, we've got the content for you from the YouTube page to the podcast feed to the website. And I've been talking too much, but that's how, I would use the website to figure out who's who.
But Felix,
you know, you can look at my ring.
It's so overwhelming. Like, I am in these dynasty leagues and I already have to know some about these college players. I'm like, oh my God, now I have to somehow do college and NFL. It sounds exciting, but it also feels like a leap. Like, I have to do a lot. Like, I'll be too unprepared. Like, I don't even know. What do I do roster size wise? How do I start this league? Like, I'm overwhelmed.
A little scared.
Yeah, I'm overwhelmed. I'm scared. Like, how does Campus to Canton help me feel less like a worried about and just more excited about joining Campus to Canton leagues?
Yeah, well, it is a leap. It's a leap for all of us. But C2C, Campus to Canton is the parachute.
Nice.
If you are going to join C2Cs, you're going to make mistakes. But it is so damn fun. It is so damn fun to be watching a game. A Mac game on a Wednesday night and to know, oh, that's so-and-so, and to like be cheering against, you know, Central Michigan running back Lou Nichols, like, damn it, he cannot score 40 points in this damn game. And the scoring in college is so – I don't even know if I'm answering the question, but the scoring in college is so the numbers are so vastly different to the NFL. Like, you might get a quarterback throw for 300 yards, 5 touchdowns, and run for 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. That was Malik Cunningham, U of L's quarterback last year. And to see a performance like that and just have and know that you're playing against it, and just to have your hands in your head like, damn it. Like, I need Bryce Young to come through for me on Saturday. Like, it is just – it is a leap. And it will be a steep learning curve at first, but it won't be as steep as like mine when I was getting started. And there was no Campus to Canton website. There are no player rankings. I was just kind of doing my research. So you have us, you have our Discord, you have our rankings, you have the metrics tools to say, all right, I'm in the 30th round of my C2C startup draft. Who's available here? Well, you got your rankings. I mean, I think I've got like 200 or 150 wide receivers ranked. So you can go ahead and see, like, who am I going to take here? Or you can jump in the Discord. Our Discord is very, very active. I learn a lot from them myself and say, all right, guys, I'm in the 22nd round. Here's who I'm thinking of in this round. Do I need to go with a player who might be a future NFL guy? Or do I need to go with a player who's going to score me points on the college side, but may not be a future NFL prospect? Who should I pick here? We've got the Discord. We've got the rankings to help you with that.
Do you think there's anything on the Campus to Canton site just to whet people's appetite, maybe our listeners, that could help with like Dynasty rookie drafts even or Devy drafts?
You are leading me into an answer, and I cannot figure out what the heck it is. Maybe I did not know our website thoroughly enough. I cannot figure out what it is. That I haven't hit on already. Tell me I'm missing something.
No, you're not missing anything. I think your answer to the last question was brilliant. I love how you kept it so real. Like, you're like, no, there is a learning curve. You are going to have to fail. You are going to have to learn more. But the site is the parachute. I love that line. Like, because I do feel like it can be a little overwhelming. Like, I'm getting ready for this draft, and I'm like, well, how the hell am I going to do this? You know what I mean? Like, and then they're sending, like, which I never love, but commissioners sending like a lot of like rules over to vote on. And I get it because they want, you know, they want everyone to kind of feel like a part of the setup and stuff like that. But I would almost rather somebody just set it up and tell me what the rules are. And then I read them and I know what to do. And I guess the follow up would just be in my last question about Campus to Canton would just be, is there any, you know, beginner advice, you know, 101 for, you know, somebody doing a Campus to Canton league? Any like mistakes you would try to avoid? Or
I think is to not be afraid of making mistakes and getting in there. Like, if you want to be challenged, if you want to be stretched, then like the reason why I like Campus to Canton leagues is because I don't think it can be math. I think you can compare it to golf, where I don't know that you can master it, where you can know every single player. And I like that uncharted territory aspect of Campus to Canton leagues. You got 45 rounds in startups. And last year, Zach Wilson went undrafted in a ton of leagues. In a ton of leagues, undrafted, 45 rounds. I don't know how many players that is through 12 teams, but that's a lot of damn players. Zach Wilson, the number 2 overall pick in the draft, goes undrafted. So it's somebody you can take on waivers. Braylon Allen, who will be in the class of 2024. He's took Jonathan Taylor's spot at Wisconsin. He was recruited as a safety and is now a 230, 240 pound bowling ball, just trucking dudes and, you know, is an absolute beast at Wisconsin. Wisconsin known for producing running backs. Undrafted. I'm in a league with like a who's who in the Debbie space. Braylon Allen undrafted on the waiver wire in like week 8, you know? So I think that my advice would be is that, yeah, I mean, be comfortable with being uncomfortable. You're going to learn something, but damn it, I mean, stretch yourself. Man up or woman up if you're out there.
That's good life advice too, yeah. Man. I believe in that. Like if you get uncomfortable, I like to do it like in my personal life and my work life, just be uncomfortable for a minute, because I think that's where all the growth happens. And I do think, you know, to go back to the rookie drafts and the Devy drafts, I do think that if you get better at Campus to Canton, you're naturally going to get better at Dynasty. You're naturally going to get better in your rookie drafts. You're absolutely going to be better equipped to deal with your Devy draft. So I really, truly believe that if you can challenge yourself, like you said, with Campus to Canton and just get uncomfortable, to use your words, just get uncomfortable, make some mistakes, fail, you're gonna do better everywhere.
I am in one of my favorite Dynasty leagues, a 16-team single quarterback league. Between 2020 and 2021, I've accumulated 5 2023 first round picks, knowing that class was coming. I had no 2022s. And so, yeah, you're able to assess the strength. You have to. I mean, it's just required because you're playing these guys. And maybe that's something I didn't explain. For those who don't know, a Campus to Canton league is essentially a deep dynasty league that just extends into the college ranks. So you have a regular dynasty team and you have a college team where you also start a lineup every single week. And when those players declare for the NFL draft, they are added to your NFL dynasty team. So yeah, you get to scout players and evaluate talent from the moment they step on campus as a freshman. And you get to have them rostered through, quote unquote, they become Hall of Famers, a Campus to Canton. So, for your dynasty leagues, you get an early look. And like I said, I don't think I acquired any 2023s in that league last year. I still have 5.
That's awesome.
I think the best way it could help you, I mean, what I'm getting out of this, the best way Campus to Canton could help you with your rookie drafts, your Devy drafts, anything, is to join a Campus to Canton league, quite honestly. And then you're just in it. You have to start learning about them if you want any competitive edge. And then by the time you get to that class gets to your Devy league or your rookie drafts that aren't Campus to Canton, like Felix said, you've already been digging in and learning about these people, and you do have that edge on. It's like any of these leagues, like you start in redraft, then you get in a keeper league, it goes to dynasty, it goes to super flex, it goes to Devy, and this is that next step, baby.
This is the next step. And the next step, can we let the cat out of the bag? Can we go ahead and
Please.
I mean, I'm sitting here driving. This isn't my show. I shouldn't be driving the ship, but I do.
No.
Like, I'm just so excited. We're doing a partnership with you guys. Your listeners are now eligible for a discount at campusdecan.com using your promo code. The promo code, of course, is FEVER for 10% off. Either 10% off your first payment as a monthly subscriber or 10% off your first payment as a yearly subscriber. So go ahead and subscribe and subscribe as a yearly subscriber for 10% off. Promo code FEVER. I'm just Swags. You and I are from the same hometown. It's crazy. I mean, you know, it's not that big of a small hometown. It is home to Derek Jeter, Greg Jennings, Jerome, TJ Duckett. a college basketball dunk champion, Pfizer. Shout out!
Everybody's a big fan of Sky Moore right now. He's not from here, but he played college here.
Sky Moore. I could go on and on, but it's
Meyer
just,
on
it's
Westnidge. Meyer Westnidge.
That's right. That's right.
I'm a big fan of that deal that you just threw out there, Felix. 10% off. I love it.
Yeah, you guys are a natural fit. I've been listening to you for a long time. Shane, I've talked to you for the last 2 years for rookie profiles. I think I swung and missed on the first one with Terry from Florida State.
Tamarian Terry.
That guy. I think we did a little bit better this year with Wandell Robinson. I hope so.
He's on my Giants.
I like him.
And we're going to get to Wandell Robinson because we've got a little bit of sleepers coming into the show today. So we will get there. So how do we join a Campus Decan league? Like, let's get these people in a league.
Let's get you guys in a league. You two have a team together. And then we need 11 of your listeners, 11 yearly subscribers to go ahead, and we can start a 12-team league. You know what's great? I mean, you said Superflex. You know what's great about C2Cs is on the college side, you can go triple Superflex if you want to because there are so many damn quarterbacks. You don't have to do that, but it's going to be fun. We have to get a rookie fever C2C league together with your listeners. So go ahead and sign up at the website using promo code FEVER. Promo code FEVER for 10% off. For 10% off, guys.
Love it. I would love that. We can get 11 listeners.
Man, this is super exciting. Anybody that listens to Rookie Fever knows we only like to get behind stuff that we truly believe in. So
absolutely.
It's been a joy talking to Felix and watching Campus Canton grow. And even just talking about this partnership's been awesome.
Yeah. Rookie Fever.
That worked. Damn. I'm never hiring that voiceover guy ever again. Just going to call Felix up.
I time stamped it. We'll just keep that one.
Yeah, that one's
we'll
good.
Keep that one. So we'll get into the show a little bit, man. So we're going to talk a little bit about some sleepers. Jeepers, we're getting deepas. Are we allowed to talk about sleepers? But first, I wanted to talk a little bit about David Bell, who we had Jason DiLorenzo. Jason's such a nice guy that he'd be like, yeah, dude, you got my name right.
Which time?
Right. But so in my rookie drafts, I've seen him all the way over from 13 overall to 28 overall. And all these are kind of taking place at the same times. It's not like there's a huge variance in the time of the rookie drafts right now. But David Bell is all over the place. How are we feeling about David Bell, Felix?
Well, how would we feel about the starting slot wide receiver for a Deshaun Watson-led offense? I think that answers our question. You know, regardless of how you feel about his talent, is there anyone else that's going to take – Jarvis Landry isn't there. Odell Beckham isn't there. You're talking about Donovan Peoples-Jones, Amari Cooper, and David – who David am I missing? David Bell. You're going to throw the ball to somebody. And David Bell has been very productive regardless of his athleticism. Yeah, he was this year's Tyler Johnson. Tyler Johnson, who, despite his draft capital, I think has been very productive for where he has been – was taken and where he is on that depth chart in Tampa Bay. Well, David Bell is a very similar player. And he's going to get starting opportunities. So Shane, we talked about this early on. It was not a draft class that I was a fan of. Haven't been a fan of for a long time.
You even had the doses of shade within the we were talking about Campus Decanton in the 2022 class. Like, you could hear it. If you follow at ShepherdView on Twitter, you know he wasn't a big fan of this class. So that's okay. We brought some lemonades because we know you want to sit in the shade a little bit. But where are you drafting David Bell with this draft class?
Yeah, it's a good point because I think in this class, more than any other, like throw kind of ADP out the window. Like I've seen draft, like can you imagine that Wandell Robinson was taken at the 108? Like, yeah, like get your guy. If it's David Bell, if you want to get him at the 201, absolutely go get him. I've seen him taken at in the third round. I'm like, damn, you got David Bell in the third round. This is not the class to, if you have conviction on a guy, just go get them. If you can't trade out of the pick, just go get them. And if you can get a starting rookie wide receiver who's going to be a candidate to be the most productive wide receiver, at least out the gate as a first year starter, like why, like his value is only going to go up. And he, you know, the end of the first round is probably a little too early for me. I still, you know, the wide receivers are the strength of this class. There isn't an RB3, but there are several wide receivers that I like. But if you like David Bell more than somebody else, if you like David Bell more than Sky Moore or more than, you know, whomever, then go get David Bell. Don't worry about what there are 55 wide receiver twos. And as good as the wide receiver class is, and this, they're all wide receiver twos.
It's interesting too. Like one thing I was thinking today is soon we're going to start to have an ADP that people feel like they can trust a little bit more, and they're going to start to ignore this huge, huge variance we're actually seeing in some of these drafts. And when you start to see that average depth position, which is what it is, it's the average spot they're taking, you want to take that into account this year, I think, a little bit more than ever, and swing it 5 to 7 spots both ways. Don't be surprised if your guy goes that far in front of where you want him, and don't be surprised if you can get him that far after where you think you need to take him. You just never know this year, especially once you get into like that second round, like the first round, that's starting to form a little bit. You can see it in your rookie drafts. But after that, it's all over the place. And I don't really expect it to change. I would say, unless you hear like a lot of really good camp news, and as we get closer to the season, don't expect a lot of these questions to be answered. You're going to hear a lot of narratives, but don't expect a lot of these questions to be answered right away.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. It's a class where you need to go ahead and get your guy. Get your guy.
Rookie drafts have been really fun for that reason, to be honest, because everyone's got a different guy.
Yeah.
my latest rookie draft, I thought I was being aggressive. The 204 was out there. I had three targets I would have loved at the 204, but I wasn't picking until 212. So I wasn't going to get any of those guys. So I threw my 312 and my 212 out there to move up. And it got immediately accepted. And then I was like, oh shit. Yeah. I was like, oh shit. Now I got to pick one of these three guys. So like, I'm like, I don't know which one I want. I did another freaking share of Damian Pierce. So I got Damian Pierce on another team. So like, I'm like probably overboard on him now. And then I look at who went at 212 and it's David Bell. And I'm like, damn it. Like, you know what I mean? Like I was sitting there thinking, no, like now that it fell the way it fell, I didn't expect Bell because I've seen him go higher. And then obviously hindsight's 50-50. But I would have changed my mind. I would have just stayed at the –
I don't blame you for making an aggressive move. I mean, the conventional wisdom in Dynasty Leagues had always been to trade down and to attempt to acquire future picks. Well, everybody's doing that. You can't do that. And so this is the perfect class to throw your third round pick to move up.
Yeah,
and get the guy that you want to make sure that you get him, whether it be Damian Pierce or Calvin Austin or, you know, David Bell or Wandell Robinson or whomever, or if it's Desmond Ridder. I mean, this is like the class where you need to have conviction if you actually have those second and third round picks.
Right.
And then just don't waste or don't hesitate to go ahead and grab the player that you have the most conviction about.
Swags, I already feel better. Felix Sharp said it was okay.
There you go.
It's now Campus a good deal.
Is already paying off.
Yes.
So, Felix, you came on and you did a Wandale Robinson player profile when we were digging into that. I want to know how you feel about the landing spot and if you think he's become a sleeper. I see him going a lot in that. I mean, I know sleeper's like a word we can't use here in Rookie Fever, but I think everybody knows how I mean it. Like, is that third round? Is that just disrespectful? Are you willing to take him a little bit earlier than the third round?
Oh, yeah. I am.
Oh, wow.
I didn't, Oh, can I say this first? I have a habit of not answering the questions, at least to start.
You are fine.
Early on, people were comparing Wandell Robinson to Rondale Moore. And their games are like nothing the same. Like
it's Wandell, a size thing.
Yeah, it's a size. Rondale Moore in college was used around the line of scrimmage. He was used that way in Arizona last year. You go watch the way – I mean, Wandell Robinson has people thinking that Will Levis is a first-round draft pick. That's how good he is. Does anybody even know who Rondale Moore's quarterback was at Purdue? No. No, you don't. But this is this is a tough son of SOB. You look the way there is a series of plays in the bowl game last year against Iowa where he takes an absolute shot over the middle on like a 13 or 14 yard post over the middle and then scores on the very next play, burning, you know, the secondary deep for a touchdown. If Wandell Robinson was 6 foot, I think everybody would be kind of in on the bandwagon. He's super athletic. He's a quick twitch player. He went to Nebraska as a running back, you know, and then made the switch over to wide receiver. And that's why it was kind of natural to start with him because I thought that he was undervalued, at least at the time. And I thought that the market had kind of corrected itself. But if you're telling me he's going in the third round,
yeah,
that's pretty. I don't know that there's a – okay, maybe you take Rashad White ahead of Wandell Robinson. But I don't know that there's a RB4 that you're taking ahead of Wandell Robinson. And it's iffy with Rashad White. I think he has some flaws in his game. But regarding the landing spot, I never thought that he was particularly landing spot dependent for his floor, so to speak, if that makes any sense. Yeah, he would have had a higher ceiling if he went to, you know, Kansas City or Green Bay. But I think he'll be just fine there. In New York, and I mean, New York's going to have another different quarterback here soon. Yeah, so I mean, so. We'll see then. But no, I mean, I said it on the profile that he is someone who could probably catch 80 or 90 passes in a season, but only have like 4 touchdowns. So you're talking about a PPR guy who's going to be consistent. And I still believe that. He's going to be someone who can beat you between the 20s, but as you get closer to the red zone, he may not be used as much. But that's more dependent. That's his ceiling mm-hmm. will be, okay, we figure out how to get the same way Antonio Brown, small wide receiver, but used in the red zone for the Steelers. You know, if he's in the right, if they use him right, he could be a red zone threat because they're not even throwing fades anymore to wide receivers. They are using these smaller guys to get open quickly with these pick plays, these illegal pick plays in the red zone. So he could be used that way. But I think his floor is safe as being a guy that's used between the 20s to get first downs, to move the chains. He has deep speed too, but he should catch a lot of passes. He should catch a lot of passes, and he has inside-out versatility. He played outside at Kentucky. He played inside. He played in the backfield at Nebraska. I mean, you can use him literally all over the place. So I think that he's I might be wrong on this later on, but I think that he has a very, very safe floor.
I remember in your
– how's that making you feel for your Giants?
A little better. I listened to the profile again, and Felix had kind of Frankensteined him to a combination of maybe Elijah Moore and Randall Cobb. I don't know if you remember that, Felix.
It makes sense because Randall Cobb played quarterback and running back mm-hmm. and wide receiver at Kentucky also. So yeah,
and Moore is Elijah Moore is 1 inch taller. So I mean they are very similar in size. I remember when I was high on Elijah Moore, that was my biggest concern, him being 5'9". I know that 5'9 is already short and 5'8 is my size, and I'm considered pretty short for my size. So as a football player, I know...
You're considered short for your size?
Yeah, I know. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. I'm considered short for my size. But yeah, no, I can at least see myself out there when I watch the Giants. I'll know exactly how tall I am compared to other NFL players because I'll be able to watch Wandell Robinson. I'm going to need to be sold on him more. He's going to need to do something. But Felix, you got me a little more excited than when the draft pick. Do you think the Giants reached at all? Sky Moore was available. Pickens was available.
No, Pickens had some red flags, so I don't think that he was. And Sky Moore, they're very similar player. I mean, you can flip a coin. Yeah, Sky Moore had a better landing spot, but
his profile
is like all But Wan'Dale Robinson has been just as or more productive than Moore at a higher level of competition. Remember, he was in the SEC last year. Yeah. He was in the Big Ten before that. So I don't know. I think that he'll be fine. I hope that his quarter. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel better about his profile or Kadarius Toney? Because Kadarius Toney was a Johnny come lately, had the good last season. Mm-hmm. They were kind of figuring out what position he was going to play at Florida. But Wan'Dale Robinson has since the moment he stepped on the field, he's always been productive but undersized. And I think this last season at Kentucky, he showed that he has some downfield ability too. So, I mean, I'm asking you, but I like if they were both prospects side by side, I would take Wan'Dale Robinson first. It was a shock when Kadarius Toney went in the first round. He should have gone around the area that Wan'Dale Robinson was taking.
My favorite profile are the ones that get better from year to year. Like they show the consistency of, and they're just learning and absorbing and getting better and better. Obviously, that's dependent on their situations, whether they transfer or, you know, so Kenneth Walker for a perfect example. Kenneth Walker totally switched teams, wasn't given the opportunity, went somewhere else and blew up. So like it's isolated to circumstances, but if you're staying at your team and a college team, I want a profile to get better from year to year. So yeah, Kadarius Toney was a major red flag with the one good year. And then everything that came out said he was a raw talent. Like, you know, nobody said he was a refined wide receiver. So like he's going to basically learn at the NFL level then. You know what I mean? I don't want to see that. I want somebody who has games, who has a lot of player minutes, that was playing the position, learning it, learning release moves, like learning the position. And then when they go to the NFL, they're more likely to hit out of the gate and they're more likely to work their way into an offense before you think they might as rookies, which you see more and more every single year, rookies like having the ability at the wide receiver position to boom. So yeah, no, I would absolutely prefer the profile where they have multiple good years in college.
I love it. Felix, I'm curious, have you done some rookie drafts? I know you are in a lot of Devy leagues, the Campus to Canton. You're still in some dynasty leagues, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Have you noticed anybody that's falling to your second rounds that you either desperately want to move in there or get, or you think they should have been a first rounder?
I hate to say no, just a flat no to,
and you because you hate this question.
This is the running backs and quarterbacks are what make a class, and
they make the rookie drafts a lot more fun.
Yes, and we knew that the quarterback class wasn't as strong as years prior. But to see like two rounds go through and, you know, one quarterback taken, and it's like, wow, the NFL really didn't like, especially with someone like Sam Howell was productive every single year at North Carolina, started as a true freshman after being a highly touted recruit. And yeah, he had a quote unquote down year last year, but he improved his running game and his two best wide receivers weren't on the team. But to see the NFL pass on him, it's like, dang. And then Matt Corral improved every year, improved from his turnover laden season the year prior to last year. But not only that, Matt Corral has like NFL level crazy, like Patrick Mahomes scrambling to the left, throwback over to the right side of the field type arm strength. And he fell. It's like, so am I even in a super flex league, am I trading up to get one of these quarterbacks? I don't think so. I mean, I'm going to sit here and look at the last rookie draft that I did to see if there's like, is there somebody that I felt compelled to trade up for? How about Alvin Ahn? And that might not be a trading up from the second round to the first round. That's more like, I got to get them in the third round or end of the second. Calvin Austin, okay, a number of things. He got better every year. He was productive his last 2 years at Memphis. He is an elite athlete, and he went to a team that is known for developing that type of wide receiver. Mike Willis, Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, they all are similar style wide receivers to Calvin Austin. So that is, as a matter of fact, I got him in two rookie drafts. I just traded up in a startup league in like the, the 20th round or something like that, so I can get Calvin Austin. Some of these are dart throws, but when you have the productivity, athleticism, and then landing in Pittsburgh with their track record position, why not take that? He's different than Deontay Johnson. He's different than George Pickens. Someone to stretch the field for whoever's going to play quarterback there in Pittsburgh. Why not the guy who ran, 4.3, whatever it was, and who's had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons at Memphis?
Yeah. Panera, what about you? Somebody you're trying to creep up and get there.
Any round in particular or just general?
No, same story.
All right,
just general.
Yeah, so I've warmed up just because of where you can get him to John Mechie. I feel as though he was somebody I wasn't super high on coming in, but then when the value gets to be where it is, and I'm seeing him go early third, and for I would say his average is right around 303 in all the rookie drafts I've been in. I did 5 rookie drafts, and his average is 303. There's a lot of people that thought that before the ACL injury that he had during the SEC championship game in December, that he might have gone in the first round. And I think what you find is teams like Detroit, right? Like Detroit knows that Jameson Williams isn't going to be ready right away, but Detroit can wait, right? Detroit's not going to the playoffs. I think Houston's the same way. So Houston drafts Mechie in the early second round, 212, which is great draft capital. And I think that it's the same thing. Like, okay, Mechie's going to play at some point in 2022. We don't know when, but Houston doesn't care. You know, so like to me, like there's some value in that in rookie drafts, in fantasy football, when, it's Houston, which, Swags, you and I talked about just in the last episode. Houston's going to have another quarterback. Like, I believe that. I know there's a lot of Mills love right now, but I believe Houston's going to have a top 5 pick next year and they're going to have a quarterback. Like, that's another team that,
There's value to playing from behind as well.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So Mechie's going to be – Mechie, I think, has the ability to flash this season still. He's going to play. Like, he's going to play this season. It's just going to be later in the season. And I think you're getting him in the third round of rookie drafts. And Houston, I mean, Cooks is probably going after this year. I think playing Dynasty, I really like Mechie in the early third round. I think I warmed up to it. Like, Mechie, like, to me was an – I don't know. I think it was a name that kind of felt like it should be an earlier rookie pick, and I wasn't interested. And now that it's a later rookie pick, I am.
Yeah, why not with John Mechie, a guy who broke into the depth chart that featured Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, and Jerry Jeudy. Broke into that depth chart there at Alabama, essentially commanded playing time as a true freshman, I believe. So, I'm not the biggest John Mechie fan that you'll find, because I don't know what his calling card or the trait that he's going to rely on to win at the NFL level. But I mean, it's the third round of the 2022 rookie draft, and there's not a whole lot of competition there in Houston.
Right.
Yeah. Somebody I've been seeing, like, if I get on the draft board and I notice that Tyquan Thornton's available in the third round, I'll try to trade in and draft him or move up to get him. I mean, he's got second round NFL draft capital. I feel like I've mentioned him a little too much just on previous shows, and I know I mentioned him on HQ, but he's somebody that I just feel like is completely disrespected in our rookie drafts. And I know all these guys, like we said about David Bell, you're throwing darts, they're flyers, but
I had zero interest, Swags, until I saw you draft him in 2 of our leagues. So I'm like, screw it. If Swags drafted him, I got to draft him too. So I got one share.
Take some shots, right?
Yeah, I got one share because of you. Why not?
Nice.
Do you guys still like Kyron Williams? Because I still like Kyron Williams. And you don't have to spend, what we thought you would have to spend
cheap.
Yeah. He's cheap. It's just like, let me just get this guy who's a former wide receiver who might be able to be a third round back who's, okay, he's not athletic. He ran whatever he ran. Very productive player. I still like me some Kyron Williams.
Yeah, and he's cheap too. You see him in that anywhere from third to fourth round, you can jump in. I mean, it's free. These are guys that, I mean, they're free. You're paying practically nothing just to kind of stash them and see what happens. And I think that's what's kind of fun about this class, is just seeing where these guys fall and having a little bit of hope.
I was looking for ADP on him. I saw 311. Yeah, So it goes back to what we were saying earlier in the show. It's like, just get your guy, you know? Like, if Felix is interested in him, why not? It's a third round rookie pick. I'm going to pick
Felix
him.
Felix has been watching these guys longer than any of us, man. So,
I'm not smarter than anyone out there, but if something happens to Daryl Henderson and Cam Akers, who's coming off an Achilles injury, I mean, don't we want the running back in a Sean McVay player offense? So
you're pretty smart, Felix. You probably know how many yards Barry Sanders ran without a shoe.
Without a shoe? I thought you were going to say.
I don't know where he's going with that either.
I can remember very specific Lions information, but it's from the year it's probably from the year 2000 on, which is like right at the end of Barry's career. I was at the game versus the Jets where he broke away and went over 2,000 yards. If you give me like a Ndamukong Suh, Matthew Stafford, Corey Williams, Cliff Averill question, I might be able to give you a specific answer. I have no, so
I'll give you some. It's funny. Trivia. When was the last year that the Lions drafted 1992. A first round wide receiver?
The Lions last drafted a first round wide receiver. Well, the last first round wide receiver that they drafted would have been Calvin.
Yep.
And was that 2005 when I graduated from high school?
Close.
It was 2006?
Seven.
Was that? I guess I was
second overall pick.
Yeah, he was rated 97 overall on NCAA.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
That's how much they like Jameson Williams.
You got a field stretcher with a team that likes to run the ball. That's a dangerous combination because, you know, how often do you need to put two safeties back when you're playing the Detroit Lions? This is a team that, again, you know what I mean?
That's a really good point.
I think that it's safe to say that I'm not, at least to start off, if I'm going to beat Detroit, I'm going to make Jared Goff beat me, which means that I'm going to drop that safety down, or that safety is going to be coming down, spinning down to stop the run, to stop Jamal Williams, to stop DeAndre Swift. I mean, Anthony Lynn, a former running back in and of itself, is the offensive coordinator. So do we get some play action long touchdowns for Jameson Williams once he's healthy? I think that we see that. But, you know, until you get a quarterback that can support Jameson Williams' volume, he's probably going to be up and down. He's probably going to have, you know, games with two catches, 80 yards, and a touchdown. One catch, 50 yards, and a touchdown. It's going to be frustrating until, you know, they get C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Tyler Van Dyke, Anthony Richardson, when they get one of those guys in there in 2023.
Jared Goff has supported Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods.
You mean Sean McVay has. Sean McVay has supported
them. He wasn't throwing the ball.
Well,
I'm not saying I disagree with you. I don't think Goff is the quarterback of our future. That's not what I'm saying here. But I'm saying it could happen.
When I saw that Sam Howell was falling into the second round, I was hopeful that the Lions would take him because Sam Howell is one of the best deep ball throwers in this particular class. And I thought that he would fit well for a conservative scheme, especially early on, like what the Lions run. The Lions run a balanced offense, lean heavy on the run, have a very good offensive line. They've invested a lot in that offensive line. And then I saw him kept falling. I'm like, all right, maybe the NFL knows something that I don't. And then, I mean, they didn't even take a quarterback, which was interesting to me.
Yeah.
You mentioned Howell a couple times, Felix, and I just traded today up into the third round because I had a couple cracks at Sam Howell, and I just kind of like you had said, I kind of checked out on the QBs. Like, I just don't want any of them. Like, I'll just wait till next year, kind of like the NFL did. But there was one time I just missed on Sam Howell, meaning like I think I drafted Tyler Allgeier instead. And I just made the justification in my head that I had a shot at an early return there. And so I think I chased that decision by trading back into the third. And I think I gave like Ronald Jones and a fifth round to get into the third again. And I have no problem with that either way. But I drafted Sam Howell. And I just thought, like, I'm just curious, like, because you mentioned him a couple times on the show, and it seems like you're a fan. It does seem like Wentz has been struggling to to stay put. Like, Sam Howell's usually the last quarterback off the board in rookie drafts. And does that make him a value? And are you kind of like, you have one eyebrow up on that?
I do, because that's a good football team. I mean, remember last year, a lot of people picked them to win the NFC East and be, after being terrible, to kind of make the worst to first, especially with that defense and that front seven for Washington, that they were going to be a team that turned it around if they could get their offense together. So they bring in Carson Wentz, and he's really the only obstacle for Sam Howell. I mean, I do like it. Might be a dart throw. I mean, fifth round draft pick. But Carson Wentz isn't some insurmountable player in front of him.
I agree.
And if he becomes the starter, I mean, how much equity did you just gain in that fourth round draft? I mean, those are the types of players that you want to take in that round. These quarterbacks that could become starters in this class, and the running backs who could, you know, after injuries become starters.
Yep.
It's not the wide receiver, you know. I know I talked about Calvin Austin, but I don't think it's the wide receiver necessarily at that range. Probably doesn't have as high a ceiling for value as a player like Sam Howell, quite frankly, Malik Willis, or some of these running backs who could become, like, think about Chuba Hubbard last year. I mean, Christian McCaffrey goes down, and I'm able to trade Chuba Hubbard and a player for a first round draft pick because of opportunity. So, yeah. And Sam Howell has done it. I mean, Sam Howell has done it since he was a freshman. If you look at 2022 mock drafts at the end of the 2021 NFL draft, Sam Howell and Spencer Rattler would have been like the number one and number two picks.
Yep.
So he's a good player. I don't know what it is that the NFL didn't see in him. He can run. Like I said, he has the, in my opinion, the best deep ball in the class. And there's something there that they didn't like. And I can't really put my finger on it with him. He's not the toolsiest quarterback that you've ever seen. Not in comparison to the 2021 class, but if you put them side by side and you told me that Mac Jones went four rounds ahead of Sam Howell, if you told me that in 2020, I would be like, that's crazy. So, yeah, take him.
Yeah. And like you said, man, that return, if he does hit, even if you want to just prosper and trade him away,
right?
You can't beat that. I have one more rookie fever trivia. It's not about the Detroit Lions. And then we're going to get out of here. Who was the first NFL player as a rookie to be allowed to have Roman numerals behind his last name?
Was it Steve Robert Smith? Griffin?
You nailed it.
Oh, wow.
Robert, that's easy.
We have a winner.
You can't be RG3. Wait, was it Steve Smith
or RG3? They changed the rules for him.
For RG3?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean.
Nice one, Felix. Nice.
Yeah, nailed it.
Remember both Steve Smiths, the Steve Smith from the Panthers and the Steve Smith from USC who played for your Giants?
Yes, I did.
Senior?
For your Giants. You remember that guy? Yes.
Okay. Speaking of names, you all would not remember this. Do you remember the Cardinals quarterback Dave Brown? He had his full name on his jersey?
No.
Go Google Dave Brown. He had his full name on his jersey.
Like, no, I'm Dave. Dave.
How? Why?
I have no idea.
That's awesome.
I'm looking it up right now to make sure I'm not lying. I'm not lying, though.
I believe you.
Oh, find the picture of it. We'll post it with the show.
Oh, come on. I got to see the back of his jersey. They're showing the front.
You say he's Cardinals QB, right?
Yep.
Put in a jersey. Dave Brown jersey is a keyword.
I'm going to have to go on YouTube.
Yeah, it's hard to find, dude. I don't see it either.
This is the most obscure player that nobody remembers. But it's just, it always.
Even Google's like, no, we're not showing you that.
Yeah, it's
odd. I'm going to find a Dave Brown clip.
Felix, I appreciate you. Always a pleasure. And I mean that sincerely. Anybody that doesn't know Felix, go follow at Sharper View. Just a true pleasure, true joy in person, in life. Anytime I've hit the mic with you, tell them anything about you, anything we might have missed. And I appreciate the crap out of you, dude. Thanks a lot.
Same here.
I appreciate you both. One thing that I did not mention was the Debbie Summit is going to be this Sunday, May 22nd. Oh, my God.
How did I not mention
that? 6-hour live stream event. I should have mentioned it up at the top. 6-hour live stream event.
I meant to. Myself. I have it jotted down. Oh, my God.
Well, let him mention it.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Listen, it'll be on my Twitter. And it's going to be on. We'll be tweeting about it.
What time Sunday? What time Sunday?
12 Eastern time.
All right.
If you're on the West Coast, wake up early. You guys are lazy out there. 12 Eastern time, 12 to 6, 6-hour live stream event. We'll be raising money for Ukrainian refugee relief efforts. But we're just going to be talking about football from a Debbie perspective, the growth of the particular genre of fantasy football. I mean, you know, Matt Waldman will be there. Jason DiRienzo, who you mentioned, will be there. Myself, Brandon Lejeune, and Matt Hicks are co-hosting the event, spearheaded by Brandon, it's his brainchild. I'm Noah Hills, Paul Portachese, Shane will be there. The diva of Debbie herself, Katie Flower.
Some of my favorite
Jared
people.
Price and Jared Wackerly. Yeah, it's just going to be fun. Come hang out with us. You ain't got nothing else to do. And you don't want to watch hockey or basketball. So come hang out with us at some point between 12 and 6 on Sunday.
I feel like Felix just described me right there. I got nothing else to do. I don't want to watch hockey. I don't want to watch basketball. No, I will be with you guys for 6 hours on Sunday. You'll see.
Don't tell people that, though. Like, kind of play it off. Like, yeah, I don't know. I might have maybe not a coffee. We'll meet for lunch. I'm kind of busy in the morning.
Yeah. Yep. I'm a busy man.
I am at Swagzilla0G. This is at Rookie Fever on Twitter. He is at Artmark TV. 5-star review this show.
And save 10% by hitting promo code FEVER at Campus to Canton. Now,
go to Campus to Canton. Use code FEVER. Start getting smart. It's like two smarts in one. You save money and you're enhancing your fantasy football knowledge all in one. Felix, appreciate your time so much, man. Follow Felix on Twitter. Follow at Campus to Canton and Rookie Fever. And we are out. Rookie Fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight, fever, in the morning, fever all through the night, sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night, I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right, rookie fever, when you kiss me, when you hold me tight. Got the 101 scouting, it's never done this to before and run. I told you anyone, size and speech, just unreal landing spot, not ideal. Wait, what's this breakout? A full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with that flame in you. Fever. I'm a fire, fever, yeah, I burn for soup. So who's got the fever? Cause I got the fever, now you got the fever. So she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. Fever, what a lovely way to burn. What a lovely way to burn. Now you got the fever, now you got the fever.